Welcome to Grace Point. Good morning, everyone, and I hope you had guys a good 4th of July yesterday. Good fireworks. I was very excited about the fireworks till 10 o'clock when I went to bed, and the fireworks continued. And I was like, God, just let me sleep. I have church tomorrow. I don't know if you have anything to do. But anyway, it was fun. Well, if you would like to open your Bibles with me on the book of Jonah, which in Hebrew, Yonah, more likely, and in Arabic, Yunus. A little different, isn't it? What's sharp, kind of, that like the stone. Yunus. So, book of Jonah, what we're going to do, we're going to read a few verses from the beginning of chapter 1, and then we're going to go through the kind of outline the book together, go through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, which is only four chapters, really. It's like take 10 minutes to read it all. And then we're going to go into the problem or the main thing with Jonah, why Jonah was commissioned to do such a work. And then maybe after that, we're going to look into some controversy with the how we feel about God or what it looked like to be asked by God to do something and you feel like this is something you are not kind of, it's not convenient for you to do. It goes against your tradition, perhaps, or against your prejudice, or against your the things that you learn as a kid or as you were raised up. And then maybe after that, we're going to look into a few things I have picked from the book of Jonah. And I hope you guys are going to like it and God somehow going to speak to you through these three things. So in the beginning of chapter 1, it said, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." That's the command that God gave to Jonah. And it said, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard, and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Just kind of the beginning of the chapter, God speaks to Jonah. God say, "You know, I wanted to go to Nineveh." Nineveh, do you know, guys, what city today? Come on. It's famous today. Mosul, yeah, thank you, Pastor Patrick. Mosul, it's all over the place. ISIL, familiar. It's very interesting, though. Very interesting. Why? Because the Assyrians, whom Jonah was sent to, today is kind of the ISIL. They were cruel, they were brutal, they were very bad in their way of fighting. They killed their prisoners in the daylight to show people that, look, we're so bad that if you challenge us, this is what's going to happen to you. And exactly, the ISIL is doing the same thing today. They actually killing people with cold blood, and they put it on videos and send it, broadcast it to the whole world. It's like, this is bad, isn't it? It's too bad. But what the message they want to try to send is like, this is what is going to happen to you if you challenge us. Anyway, the Marines are there, going to take care of it, right? Maybe not? Okay. So the book of Jonah, if you would go through it with me, it's only four chapters. Chapter 1, it starts with these few verses. Say, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, to Mosul, to the Assyrians." And then the rest of the chapters, Jonah basically go and get aboard in a ship and sail to Tarshish, Spain, today. And there, the sailors get all this hard time on sea, and they cast lots to find out what's going on the ship. And then it comes out that Jonah was the one who caused all this turmoil. So they come to him, if you read the whole chapter, and I tell him, "We got to throw you out." Basically, what's going on? He said, "Yahweh, that's my Lord. I'm Israeli. I am a prophet, and this is what's going to happen to you because of me." They said, "Then we're going to throw you out to the sea because you don't want you aboard." Why? Because you're going to kill us. This God called Yahweh going to kill us. And it's a very interesting story in chapter 1, and I'm going fast because I got to get to my points. It said that the sailors were praying to their gods. You ready, guys? The sailors were praying to their gods. God, help us, help us. Jonah was asleep. He took a nap. Like, it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. These guys were about to die, and he was taking a nap. And these guys, "God, help us. Please," and they go to the captain, probably went to Jonah, like, "Wake up, what you're doing? We're about to die, we're about to sink, and you're taking a nap?" That's very interesting. These people were more actually zealous to pray and save themselves than Jonah. And then you go to chapter 2, what you find there? The whale. He got thrown out to the sea, the whale comes in, swallow it. And he spent a couple of days there. Three nights. It's like in a hotel. Hey, nice weeds and stuff. And animals come in. Who was that? Oh, a lot of fish around. You probably get a meal. The whale eats and he eats inside. Ah, well, kind of cool here. And then in chapter 2, he prayed the whole time. And God ordered the whale to come out. I don't know if we're going to come to this story, actually, as a miracle. It's a mere miracle. I mean, it couldn't happen. There was a few stories that people were swallowed by whales and were thrown out, spit out. Some of them survived. Some of them died. But really, these stories aren't authenticated enough, aren't documented enough to be sure these things happen in reality. So this is the story of Jonah. By the way, just for information, this one been mentioned in the Islamic book Quran, the whole story of Jonah, mentioned in a few verses though, in a few verses in Quran, the whole story. And in Muslims, what they do, there's a kind of a prayer concerning this prayer that Jonah prayed in the belly of the whale, and they were told by Quran, if you pray this kind of prayer, you will be forgiven all your sins, if you keep on a daily basis. It's like, I don't know how long it takes. I don't recall exactly, but it's between two prayers, the noon prayer and the evening prayer. You put this prayer in the middle, and you get forgiven. It's a very interesting concept, though. And then you go to chapter 3, and here's Jonah, what's happening to him. He gets commanded again by the Lord, and he said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and he keep going to Nineveh all the way. Finally, he was convinced that he had to go to Nineveh. And if you look into the story, finally, he went, he proclaimed the message, and a lot of things happened. You come to the last chapter, we're going to read a few verses of it, and in chapter 4, basically, the city was saved. And Jonah, surprisingly or interestingly, get upset. Like, what? You made it? People are saved? What's going on? So we're going to go into the story. But that's kind of the outline for this book. It's a beautiful book, Jonah. I mean, 4 chapters, easy reading. Guys, read it and you kind of, you read the whole thing about the Bible. Kidding. You got to read the Bible. Not 4 chapters. I say, oh, I'm done. So I called it, I'm not going. This is what happened with Jonah. I read it all, I mean, from beginning to end. The whole thing about Jonah, God came to him and said, hey, there, I want to go to Nineveh. And Jonah stands like, I'm not going. It's like your employer come to you and say, well, do some copy for me or go to do something for me. I said, no, I'm not. You're going to get fired, right? Right? Well, I want to do your job. No. So why you're here? Fired. Go home. This is what happened with Jonah. God told him, I want to go to Nineveh, to the Assyrian, to talk to them, to tell them what I am going to tell you, give them this message. And he said, no. I mean, Moses, when he came to God, God said, I want to go back to Egypt and get the Israelites out. What did Moses say? He said, I cannot do it. I'm not qualified. I mean, he reasoned with God in terms of qualification, right? But here with Jonah or with other prophets, he said, I want more evidence from God. When God talked to them, I said, I want to do some job for me. They said, show us that you are Yahuwah talking to us by a clear miracle so we can be convinced. He showed them. But here with Jonah, it's very interesting. Like, I want to go to Nineveh. I said, no. In fact, instead of going east toward Nineveh, he went west toward Tarshish, toward Spain, which is like 5 times the distance to Nineveh. 5 times the distance. Like, God, you want me to go there? Yeah, guess what? I'm going there. Is it Amherst this way? I'm going Buffalo. It's kind of weird in Buffalo, really. But this is the thing. It's, imagine just Jesus telling his disciples after he was resurrected. He said, guys, hey, I want you to go and preach the gospel. And the apostle look at Jesus and say, no, we're not going. What? That's the book of Jonah. That's all of it. And here, what it comes, very interestingly as well, God didn't punish Jonah. Did you see that? God wasn't very upset with Jonah. He was very angry. He said, how dare you challenge my word? You're dead. He didn't do that. Actually, he forced Jonah to do what he asked him in the first place, but he didn't punish him. And I would love really to come to this thing. God appreciates honest disobedience more than pretentious obedient. What do you think? What do you think? In Amos, for example, he said, I hate your feasts. I hate your sacrifices. I hate your gathering. I hate your fellowship. Why? Because they are not real. You are not honest in the way that you are worshiping me. In Isaiah, he said, your hearts, your lips honoring me, but your heart far away. That's not going to work. Jesus, in his Gospels, he spoke very clearly that it's about the heart. It's about the intention. It's not that it's not about the deeds. Deeds should come after your heart. But he said it's about honesty. It's about what you really mean deep in your heart. It's not about just praising the Lord. Who's the Lord? I don't know. I mean, anyway. I really appreciate this honesty in God that he is looking for us to be honest, completely honest. Once a guy, I remember quite clearly, he came and he said, you know what? That was in Lebanon. He said, you know what? We are not honest people. And we're like, what? We're Christians. We're honest. We should be honest. He said, no, we're not. He said, for example, I mean, I remember quite well this guy. He said, I came with my wife all the way to church, right? I said, we're fighting. She was hitting me back. I was hitting her. Would you barrel driving? He said, we come to church, and we have this big smile. I mean, that's not necessarily relevant to our topic. I got this smile. I say, oh, praise God. We are fine. We're happy. We're blessed. We're doing ministries. We're great, blah, blah, blah. When I went to Lebanon this last time, he was divorced. He meant it. He said, sometimes maybe we have to be honest to solve our problems with God and with ourselves before we pretend everything is okay. And it's not okay because God knows and God sees. And this is the same thing happened with Jonah. I mean, God saw through Jonah and said, it's okay. I see you are very honest. You don't want to get the Assyrians saved because you hate them. They are your enemies, the enemies of Israel. You don't want them to be saved because of this. Pastor Patrick preached last night. Last Sunday, what he said, pride and prejudice. This is true. We have pride and prejudice. Jonah had pride and prejudice against the Assyrians. He didn't want them to be saved. That's a matter of fact. So I think, and I'm pretty sure, and God always made it clear, God would really appreciate honest disobedience more than pretentious obedience. This is something we have in the Middle East, by the way. It's a disease. We pretend. We do a lot. It's like people, I love you. Oh, I wish you did. We have all this, you know, like, hey, how are you, buddy? Oh, I don't care about you. Like, just be yourself. I like this here, though, in the northeastern part of America. I think we are more honest than a lot of other places. Let me give you this credit, guys. Quite honestly, I think we're more honest in the northeastern part of America. I don't know about the South, though. I never lived there. But as far as here, we are more honest. We say what we mean. In fact, I talked once with a guy from the South, and he said, you know what? I was raised in the South. He said, the people here are more honest. I'm not trying to offend the South, just a matter of fact. And here, how can we be transparent with God? Because I find this very interesting why and very important, because sometimes I feel as well, God talks to me, he wants me to do things, and I don't feel like really I want to do them. I was like, God, what are you talking about? I don't like this idea. Don't tell me that. I want to serve God. I want to obey him, but also I am prejudiced somehow. You know, I have my plans. I have my things. How can we be transparent with God? How can we be real and honest like Jonah? And what is the things that we can learn from Jonah? And I have three things. I'll go through them pretty fast so we can eat. Do what you know. That's the first thing. Do what you know about God, though. Not about everything. Don't do everything you know about. About God. Do what you know. If you look into this whole book, in these three first chapters, you will find out that Jonah was pretty familiar with God. He was very, very familiar with God. He knows God pretty well. He understands God. As the ship, he knows what he's doing. He knows what was the problem, why he should be thrown out because it's not going to work. And if you keep up with him, you go to chapter 2 in the whale. He prayed a great prayer, in fact. This is such a great prayer he prayed from the belly of the whale. He go to chapter 3 and he understood God is going to accomplish what he was asking him to do. And God really did. But what was very interesting to me, if you look into this on chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4, he said, but, that's in chapter 4, after everything was done, almost done, we just stay, in fact, chapter 4 all about Jonah and the lesson he had to learn from God. And he said, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, the salvation of the Assyrian. It seemed very wrong. And listen, he said, and he became angry. Not just he's like, people are saved. This is wrong. He was upset. Like, man, people were saved. How dare you, God? You're kidding? And he went, he said, he prayed to the Lord. Listen to this prayer. I mean, you contrast this prayer with his prayer in the belly of the whale. And you're going to learn a lot. Listen, he said, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, taking a nap? He said, that is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious, listen to this, you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is what he knows about Yahweh. This is what he knows about God. That's the conclusion. It's like with the book of Job, you go through 42 chapters, you come to the end, and Job's like, uh-oh, in the past I heard about you, but today I can't see you with my own eyes. The same thing with Jonah. He came to this part, and he knew about God, that God is trying to show compassion to the people of Assyria and to forgive them. And instead of punishing them, give them liberty, give them freedom, give them salvation. And Jonah understood that, but he never acted on it. He never used this as a base to his actions to God. I know who you are, God. You know what? You want to have mercy on these people. I don't want that. No. What do you know about God? What do you know about God? I mean, we know a lot of things about God, right? I mean, as soon as you dig in the book of Genesis, for example, you're going to learn a lot about God. You go to the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, you name it, you go through it, you're going to learn a lot. You come to church, you're going to learn about God. But what's really the main thing about God, you know, quite honestly, what is the main thing about God, about Jesus? He wants everybody to be saved, even the ISIL. Once a guy, he was Sudanese, and we were in a meeting kind of to pray for each other. You know, we pray for each other a lot. Pray for this, pray for that. And he stood up and he said, guys, I want to pray for Osama bin Laden. He was alive back then, 2007, I guess. I said, I want you to pray for Osama bin Laden and to his friends, Al-Qaeda, as they bombing other people. And the guys there looking, what? He said, well, didn't Jesus die for this kind of people? I said, yes. Didn't Jesus say you have to preach the gospel to everyone? He said, yes. He said, then we have to pray for these people to be saved. Saddam was very evil, though. Sami Dagger, the pastor from Lebanon, went all the way to his palace to give him the gospel. He couldn't make it to Saddam. But he sent the gospel. You know what Saddam did? He sent him a watch. Gold, by the way, it's worth a lot. I asked him to give it to me. He never did. With Saddam's picture on it. He still have it, by the way. I forgot to ask him when we went to Lebanon last time. He might have been better too. With this. People have to be basically saved. This is what we know about God. I mean, this is what I'm quite honestly grabbed from this whole Bible. I mean, this whole big Bible, it's saying God is merciful. God is compassionate. God wants people to be saved, to have freedom, to conquer sin, to be my children and my household. This is what the Bible is saying. Now, this is what Jonah got. And he knew it, but he never acted based on it. So, do what you know. Do what really you know about God, not all the things. This is what God trying to tell you. They say, it's a saying, I like it, said, a man is what he thinks, right? It's all about knowledge. It's all about what we have. And this is what we have about God. So just do it. And I say, your knowledge should overcome your prejudice. Your knowledge of God should overcome your prejudice. Once a guy, another story, he was in the school for theology and stuff to be a pastor. He met a pastor, actually. He met a missionary from America who went to Jordan. They met together in Lebanon. They were having conversation. I heard it from the missionary. And you know what he told him? This guy from America here, I don't know which state, though. I can't remember. He was so crazy, so overwhelmed. I mean, I know, to preach the gospel to Muslims. He was asked to come to America, do some. He was asked to teach as a professor. He refused. He said, I want to give the gospel to Muslims. They have to be saved. I mean, he was just overwhelmed. I never really was overwhelmed about it as he was. I was like, and he was having this conversation with this guy who was studying theology to preach the gospel. And do you know what this guy, what did this guy tell him? He said, I don't preach the gospel to Muslims. He said, what? You live in among Muslims. You study theology. You're going to become a pastor to a church. And you're saying you do not want to share the gospel with Muslims? He said, no, I don't. I don't like Muslims. And you know, he knew this guy is not going to tell anybody else. But he told me. I was like, seriously? He said, yeah. He's so prejudiced against Muslims. He said, I just can't stand them, man. I just can't stand them. In fact, once this guy heard Assalamu Alaikum, which is very much Islamic greeting, and he said, he couldn't allow the knowledge of God. I mean, I'm not here to judge this person. He was honest with his statement. But he said, he couldn't allow the knowledge of God that he has, that he people have to be saved through this compassionate God, and he allowed his prejudice to drive his life, basically. And we have to watch out, I think. We have to watch ourselves. What are we doing? How are we feeling about God's love? How are we feeling about people? What's our goal in life? What we know about God? So do what you know. The second thing is go where you are told. Go where you are told. I think Pastor Patrick fixed that to me, right? You did? Thank you. Because I was looking this morning, I was like, man, where's the R? I did without the R. He with the R. So, and if you go to chapter 3 and only the few verses actually, he said in chapter 3, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And here it said, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very great city. It took 3 days to go through it. This is the second message, which from the beginning, God told him in the first place, I want you, Jonah, to go to Nineveh and to give them the message I gave you. He didn't go. This time he did. And it's basically go where you are told. And this is what was told from the beginning. Remember when Jesus was telling his disciples what he wanted them to do? He told them, I want you to preach the gospel to all nations, starting from where? From Jerusalem. You got Jerusalem, you got Judea, you got Samaria, and to the end of the world. What did they do? What did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem. Hi, guys. I want you to go to Judea, to Samaria. It's like Amherst and then Grand Island, and to the end of the world, they get together, huddled together, like, we're kind of cool here. We're Israelis, all these Israelis. This is our nation, our hometown. This is our culture. This is our temple. This is our Bible. This is where we are. We're happy. We're fantastic. We just sit here. And they stayed until Stephanos, or Stephen, was killed. After he was killed, they said, man, we got to go out. And they started taking the message. Later, even Paul sort of was disappointed in the mindset of the apostles that the gospel has to be kept somehow among themselves after the people they wanted. And said, oh, guess what? We have to go to the Gentiles and give them the message. And even later, when the Gentiles were converting to Jesus and the Holy Spirit was coming upon them, they were confused, like, huh? The Holy Spirit comes to the apostles, or to the Gentiles? How dare they? We're circumcised, we're Jewish, we have the Bible, we have the tradition, we have the history, we have the prophets, we have all these people. And now these Gentiles just believing in Jesus and getting the Holy Spirit and becoming the temple of God? And Peter was confused, like, no, they can't. We got to take the Holy Spirit back. Holy Spirit, come out of them. They don't deserve it. That was a mindset. And this is the same thing with Jonah. Just go where you are told. Very interesting. Once a guy, he came from Mexico, studied in Texas. And they told him, so what you're going to do after you graduate? He said, I'm never going to Texas. Oh, sorry, to Mexico. I'm never going to Mexico again. That's it with Mexico. I'm out of Mexico. And guess what? After he finished took his degree, God told him, you go to Mexico. And he said, no, I'm not going to Mexico. You got the whole world. Send me. I will go to Africa. He said, no, you're going to Mexico. And finally, he obeyed, and he went to Mexico. When I went to seminary in Lebanon, they asked me, are you going to go to Iraq? I said, I wish, but I can't. It's very dangerous. Oh, be careful. God might send you back to Iraq. I said, oh, boy. Go where you're told. Do what you're told. And basically, this is what God, from the beginning, he told Jonah very plainly, I want you to go to Nineveh. No, I'm not going. He went. He went, finally. When God came to him in chapter 3, he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. He obeyed. He said, okay. And he backed up and he walked into Nineveh. Now, Jonah has this hope that when he goes to Nineveh, and he going to tell them, 40 days and you will die. God's punishment is coming upon you in 40 days. He thought, people say, hey, who cares? Why? Because he's been talking to the Israelites for most of his life. No one listened. And people don't listen. Like, you go now to both say, people, hey, in 40 days, God will punish this area because we're not listening to God. They're going to stone you. They're going to mock you. Jonah said the same thing. I will go to Nineveh, and Nineveh is a great city, and they have a lot of gods and stuff, but back then, there was a problem with the throne. It was like about the days of Jeroboam in the 8th century. One of the sons of the king was rebelling against his father to take the throne by force. His father decided to give the throne to everybody. So there was economic kind of political issues when he ran, when he walked into Nineveh, and he said, you know what? I will just proclaim the message. And people say, who cares? Who are you, by the way? Oh, I am Jonah. Get out of here. And God is going to punish them. But guess what? He was disappointed because people repented. People said, uh-oh, God is going to punish us. And they repented. And they obeyed God, which gives us to the... Say what you heard, what you hear. Say what you hear. This is what God gave him. He said, I want to go and tell them I'm going to punish them because their wickedness came to me. Come up to heaven. And when he walked in, and he said in verse 4, that's chapter 3, he said, Jonah began to, by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. They said, we're repenting, Jonah, thank you for telling us. We don't want to be condemned by God. And they repented, and God said, oh, okay, I'm not going to punish them. Why? Because they repented, basically. So this is the story of Jonah. Quite honestly, he got this prejudice. He was thinking like, you know what? The Assyrians don't deserve to be forgiven. I want God, Yahweh, to punish them. Instead, God told him, no, Jonah, you're wrong. I want to go to them. I want to tell them, and they have to be saved. And this is what happened. Say what you heard. And this is what we heard from the beginning. The apostles, in the first place, heard from Jesus, go ahead and preach the gospel. Tell everyone. They have to be forgiven. They have to be free. You know what? Today in Mosul, actually, is gone. They had in Mosul, back then, they have the tomb of Jonah. It's not a real tomb, by the way. I couldn't believe it. He stayed there. The real tomb, I think, in Jerusalem. But they said they believe they have the tomb of Jonah, the churches back in then. And they built churches over this tomb to honor Jonah for coming and preaching the gospel to the Assyrians. Later, when Islam came in and took over Mosul, back then in the 7th century, they took the church out. They built a mosque. I said, oh, Jonah was a Muslim? Like, how in the world he was a Muslim? And they built this mosque, and they come in and say, this is the shrine of Eunice. They call it the shrine of Eunice. Why? Because here, when you come, you remember God sent Jonah to Iraq to save people. He was a Muslim. And that was crazy. Anyway. Last year, the ISIL came to this mosque. They burned it to the ground. They said, this is idol. This is idolatry. We will not allow people to come to shrines. What shrines? God is in heaven. That's gone. But the story of Jonah is quite authentic story, well documented. And we have a lot of signs. We have a lot of studies have been done by archaeologists to find out the whole trip about Jonah. And this is what he said. Do what you know about God. He's merciful. Go where you are told. To the whole world. Do what you have in your mind about God and the people that he's trying to send you to. Say what you heard. What we heard. Preach the gospel to all nations. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Your word is true. Thank you, Lord, that we can read it today. We can study it. We have all the studies that have been done, Lord, about the history of the Israelites and the things that they done, Lord, and their prophets. And I thank you for the privilege of getting into your word, for teaching your word. And I pray, Lord, that not just me, but all of us, Lord, obey you, listen to you, Lord, and achieve your mission in this world is to preach the gospel and be faithful and honest with you. Help us, Lord, and empower us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.